build bridges, not walls. My name is Sharif Street. I'm a black man from North Philadelphia. I'm April Street's husband. I am a Muslim American, and thanks to many of you, I am a member of the Pennsylvania State Senate. The second paragraph of the United States Declaration of Independence reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and amongst them includes the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." It doesn't read all men born in the United States. It doesn't say all men who are Christian or Jewish or Muslim. It doesn't say all white men. It doesn't say all men in big cities or small towns. It doesn't say all rural men or urban men. It doesn't say all men born in Europe, and it doesn't say all men born in Africa. It doesn't say all men born in the United States. It says all men are endowed with certain unalienable, and I'm an attorney, unalienable means rights that cannot be separated from, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That means that if you're trying to travel through an airport in the United States, the mere fact that you were born a man or a woman, a human being, endows you with rights that must be respected. And it is in the Declaration of Independence that was the hallmark for the creation of this country, a country that was founded in the city that I now represent in Philadelphia, where people came to Philadelphia and came to the United States fleeing religious persecution. Ideals that too many people have now forgotten. Immigrants who traveled across an ocean who set shores here, fleeing religious persecution. And I say today we must protect the rights of immigrants who travel across the ocean fleeing religious persecution today, regardless of whether they're Muslim, Christian, or Jewish. Resistance was a theme that they asked us to speak about. We have to resist. It is not an unfamiliar theme for many of us. You know, I used to joke with some of my friends, and I grew up in Philadelphia, a very diverse place. I had Arab friends. I said, and they said to Sharif, 9/11, how did it affect you going to the airport? I said, well, it used to be when we got stopped. As a black man, we were the number one people to get stopped at the airport. Now we dropped down to number two. But what I'll tell you is this. Resistance is something that is not unfamiliar. When I was a child, my father was an activist. Senator Kitchen, who I worked for, who preceded me in this office, was an activist. We stood up against persecution. And we stood up, and not at no expense. I was a child, I remember my house being broken into, and they killed our dog as a man of intimidation. Firebombed my uncle's office. I watched my father beat on television after he was elected on the floor of city council. But you know what, we never gave up. We never were afraid, and we stood up. And the country got better. And the city got better. And the same people in the city, many of those same communities that fought to beat him down in 1979 when he ran, in 1999, 20 years later, voted to elect him the second African-American man to be mayor of Philadelphia. So mine is a story of a person who believes that we can be better. I was born to a guy my grandparents, neither of them went to high school, let alone college. My father was a hot dog vendor when I was born, and he became the mayor. So when people say that we cannot reach out across lines and we cannot build bridges, I'm telling you, I just don't believe it. And on the day that We elected a man, a president, who didn't understand the rights of religious freedom and independence and who was trying to vilify Muslims. It was the same day in Pennsylvania that we elected the first Muslim to serve in the Pennsylvania State Senate. Happened in the same election cycle. For those of us who don't believe that we can make progress, during the same time when Donald Trump was campaigning and talking about the fact that we need to disrespect Muslims, there were many of us who were organizing, and we gained the right to have the Muslim holidays acknowledged in the school district of the fifth largest city in America, in Philadelphia. At the same time in which we were dealing with the fact that there were people all over the country who were organizing and demonizing immigrant communities and were saying that we need to ignore and shut out Muslims. We need to understand that the governor of Pennsylvania invited Muslims to dine and to celebrate the Muslim holiday of Eid in the Capitol, in the governor's mansion. That same year, hundreds of people gathered in the city, Philadelphia City Hall, and celebrated Eid as well. So I want you to understand that all hope is not lost. One election was lost. But the great thing about America is every 4 years we have a chance to make it right. And we can do it again. I want you to understand there's a reason that the First Amendment that was adopted by the founders of the United States was an amendment that guaranteed the right to freedom of religion and the freedom of association. And I want you to understand that just because you get sworn in and take an oath to uphold the United States Constitution, inherent upon that is that you should read the document that you've upheld, that you have been sworn in to uphold. Because part of that, the First Amendment, is that you need to accept that all people have a right to express religion and that the government of the United States has no place for saying and discriminating against people on that basis. It's not the 10th Amendment. It's not the Second Amendment. There are 26 amendments, but the very first one that was adopted after the United States had a constitution, at the first time when we wanted to guarantee the Bill of Rights, was that people could associate with whomever they choose and that they could express religion and their faith, a fundamental part of the human fabric, in the manner that they chose. And that right extends to our Jewish citizens. We guarantee the 14th Amendment of the United States, which guarantees due process, also guarantees equal protection. And that means we must protect our Jewish community and our Muslim community from discrimination at their places of worship. And so I have offered, and have a number of co-sponsors, but I'm the prime sponsor of legislation in Pennsylvania that will protect the sacred places, both Jewish and Muslim, throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You see, the one thing that we have to understand is that we're all in it together. And the one thing that we have to understand is that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We must understand that if we turn our blind eye while our Jewish brothers and sisters' cemeteries are desecrated, then we're opening up the door to have our own places of worship desecrated. If we turn a blind eye at where a pig's head is thrown at Al-Aqsa Masjid, where I have worshiped in the past, is desecrated, then we open up the door to have all of our places of worship. If we don't condemn acts of violence in a Baptist church down south, then we understand that an Episcopalian church up north could be violated. You see, in order for us to have rights, those rights must be protected for all of us. And in order for us to become the strong global leader that we have always been, we must continue to embrace people from around the world, and we must show the world that we can lead, and part of leading is respecting and protecting each and every one of our citizens, regardless of their faith or their conditions. I'm proud to be here with CARE and welcome, and support CARE in its mission to do the same. Later this week, we'll have an event with the American Jewish Committee where we will stand together with representatives from CARE as well, talking about protecting each of our sacred places. I want you to understand that just because you're black or white, that doesn't mean that we don't have to respect each other. It doesn't mean that we can't work together. My policy director in my office, Michael Majubian, who's a longtime friend of mine, is a married gay man. We have Muslims and Christians, gay people and straight people, black people and white people, all working together. I get up in the morning and I meet another friend of mine who's an Irish Catholic who drives me to work. I talk to my Christian chief of staff. We meet with my gay, white male policy director. We talk to my Muslim scheduler, executive assistant, as she often corrects, who then asks our Muslim district director, who's a man, if he needs a cup of coffee, and calls the woman who runs the other district office to see if everything is okay up there. There are white people, black people, Jews, Christians, Muslims. My head of my political action committee, Kevin Greenberg, is a Jewish man who worries all of us that we're not doing what we're supposed to do every day. But the fact that one is a Muslim and one is a Jew and one's a Christian, one's black, one's straight, one's gay, one's white, is not the concern. What we are fundamentally concerned about is our ability to serve the people that we get up in the morning and I was elected and we were all empowered to serve. And if each of us can dedicate our lives to doing that, we'll make America strong. Immigration has constantly infused America with greater talent. A significant portion of our doctors that we have throughout this country come from the immigrant community, many of them Muslim, many of them probably here tonight. Our original program to develop nuclear power was in part due to some Jewish immigrants who were fleeing the terrors of the Holocaust in Nazi Germany and who wanted to come here and help make America great so it could preserve the freedoms across the world. We have to understand that we are not a Christian country. We're not a country, we're not a Muslim country, we're not a Jewish country. We're a country that respects the rights of all people. And we're a country that has always been able to pull together when our basic freedoms were challenged. You know, there was a saying that we were all talking about last year that we're stronger together. And for many of us who stood together and said that now is being tested. And I know that there are many others that have to speak tonight, so I won't go on for much longer. But I want to leave these thoughts that come from Martin Luther King Jr., who is an alumnus of my alma mater, Morehouse College. And on the statue that bears his likeness, it is written, and these words are engraved in the statue and in the minds of all students that walked there as we had to go into the Martin Luther King Chapel for programs, which were, it is the true measure of a man or a woman is not where he stands in times of comfort or convenience, but the true measure of a person is where he or she stands in times of conflict and controversy. It is times like these that will measure what we are as a society. And I believe that we will pull together and we will be better and we will be stronger because we will pass that test and we will prove that no one has to make us great again because we're great right now. Thank you so much. God bless.